Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
The Green Bay Packers get knocked off in Tampa Bay, and this week they get their sights set now on the Houston Texans. Welcome to the program. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle, and thanks for those of you who were watching just a little while ago as we did some Facebook Live from the Wagon Wheel. We're normally in a pub or a grill or whatever you want to call it on Thursday nights. We're brought to you by our friends at Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good flavors in cranberry, grapefruit, pineapple, and strawberry, but we're not able to share with you this season, at least not for right now anyway, as we're all in our respective homes and our places of Zoom, if you will. Joining me tonight on the panel, Kevin Holden from CBS 58, also Christina Tussaud, also from CBS 58. Kevin, how you been, buddy?
And it's all good. Talking football, having fun, and just making it through the season. I guess this is a little bit of a reality check for us, as opposed to these first 3 or 4 weeks when that zero was in the loss column. That number one in the loss column will make you reassess some things. So I'm curious to see how this thing shakes out tonight.
Yeah, we're going to discuss a lot about what happened in Tampa Bay on Sunday. Christina, how you doing?
Hi, guys. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you. So let me start right away with the Packers. Can the Packers win? We saw this team get down and get really kind of pushed around a little bit. And I had said it at the beginning of the season. I said, look, I think this team can sustain. They've got terrific play calling, a lot of misdirection. They do a lot of things well. They can sustain drives. But if they get down by two or three scores, can they come back and come back in a hurry? And we saw that they really struggled against a solid defense, obviously being down by three scores in this contest. So, Christina, let me start with you. Can the Packers win when they absolutely need to come from behind by two or more scores?
Yes, and the answer for me will always be Aaron Rodgers. When we need Aaron Rodgers occasionally to come up with this vintage performance, I think that he can still kind of create that magic for this team. Did it happen in Tampa? No, not necessarily. And I know that there's been a lot of questions this week about was this a fluke or is this the start of a trend for the Packers? And I tend to think that it was a little bit more of a fluke. The reoccurring message that seemed to be coming out of Packers camp for the last week was that their week of preparation leading up to the Bucs game was just piss poor. And I think that kind of needs to be the defining difference if they plan to bounce back against the Texans. Given our interactions with the team this week, though, I'm just going to bring up the elephant in the room. What is going on in Green Bay right now? Aaron Rodgers in the absolute worst mood, the most uncomfortable 20 minutes of my life during a press conference yesterday. they needed a swing in momentum at practice. This was a sign that he is not getting that right now, is what I felt.
Kevin, give me your thoughts as to, and I heard the presser, we played it today on the program. It was a little testy, and I don't know whether maybe some of the questions are getting to him or maybe some of the things that were said about him nationally now questioning him all over again. I'm sure he's rolling his eyes going, God, what do I got to do just to get a little bit of respect, because people seem to want to jump on me the minute things go wrong. But give me your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, it's when you're a guy like Aaron Rodgers, the thing you have to remember about his game, what has separated him from really even any other quarterback of this generation, is how much of a perfectionist he is, how good he is when you're talking about touchdowns versus interceptions, when you're talking about completion rate, when you're talking about not making mistakes. And there have been times in the past where we've criticized Rodgers for either holding onto the ball too long or taking a sack, taking something where he didn't want to throw an interception, but that is who he is. So this is a man who's a competitor and is upset by the fact that the wheels literally fell off. And remember, this was a team that drove down in that first quarter against Tampa Bay, 10 plays and 54 yards to lead to the opening field goal, 11 plays and 80 yards to lead to the Aaron Jones touchdown. So at that point, when the second quarter begins, an undefeated team has a 10-0 lead. And I mean, it's just, you turn your head and it was gone. And that to me is one of those things that leads you to search for answers. And if you're someone like Rodgers, who again, demands perfection, wants it from himself, wants it from his teammates, to see that sort of thing happen, it's going to make you pretty unhappy. And it's obvious, as Christina said, that he's bugged a little bit right now. And as a competitor, maybe that's okay.
Is the criticism that was heaped nationally on Aaron Rodgers, is it warranted at all? And Kevin, I'll go back to you.
That's an interesting question, because we keep waiting. I think it's funny that for the last how many ever years, we keep waiting for this moment of when mortality will catch up to Rodgers, whether it's, you know, talking about number of years in the league, age, any of this other stuff, you know, what has changed in his game. And the truth is that right now in 2020, with this team, the way it's assembled, the way they have this run game, and you've got Aaron Jones and other options now, Aaron Rodgers isn't statistically the same quarterback, but he also doesn't have to be the same quarterback. He's not 2011, where there was no defense and every win was 45-38. He's not 2015 or 16, when he has to go and tell everybody, we're going to run the table and then rattle off this string of wins seemingly on his own back to get to the NFC Championship game. I feel like the team in general is better, is stronger, more well-rounded, and that means that Rodgers doesn't have to be that same guy that he was before. So going back to your question about the criticism nationally, I think if they're making the comparison, you're talking about two different things. This Rodgers might not look so good on those teams, because those teams really desperately needed someone to be everything, the offense completely. They don't have to do that anymore. So I'm not sure if you're using past seasons as comparison, I'm not sure it's 100% fair, because it's a different type of Packers team. It's a team that when they give up 38 now, it's a huge, huge story. And that's to me, that would be the more fair criticism is where does that defense stand right now?
Christina, do you think that some of the national narrative on Aaron Rodgers after just one loss has been too coming down, so to speak?
Oh, definitely. I don't think that one loss warrants this kind of response, especially for a guy that attracted so much attention because of two picks that he never typically would give up in a game. If this is a guy that's been playing in the league for 2-3 seasons and this is a game that he delivers, I think that you hit the panic button just a little bit more. But I do think that we need to relax a little bit. Aaron Rodgers has kept a pretty clean sheet in regards to the, you know, the interception to touchdown ratio. He's a guy that is pretty precise. And I think that last Sunday was really an anomaly. I think it's something that we just don't see out of him very often. And I can't help but wonder if the Brady Rodgers matchup kind of played into a little bit. They're constantly being compared to each other so much. And you kind of wanted to see Aaron Rodgers come out of that matchup looking better than Brady. And he just didn't. But I don't think it's time. I don't think it's time to panic. And I don't think that one loss warrants that kind of response.
You had mentioned in Aaron Rodgers a little testy. He was asked, why do you seem so mad? Here's what he had to say.
I'm definitely not down the dump. So don't project that onto me, because that's okay. That's not a reality.
Not down in the dumps. So
that's how okay. I sound when I'm not down in the dumps, right, Kevin?
Yeah. I get, you know what? It's more so what you don't say than what he did say. You know, he's not down in the dumps, but he can certainly be upset with something. You know what I mean? It's certainly there's something that has sparked a little bit of I don't want to say testiness, but a shortness to him. And we'll talk more about that. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I have to say my personal favorites from yesterday was when somebody asked, is someone in the locker room stepped up in the face of adversity after your first loss of the season? And his response was, no, but it's only Wednesday. So that's not right. The kind of rah-rah that you want leading into another matchup.
No, I completely agree. And I think part of it is maybe he's just looking at it saying, it's one loss. We just played a bad game. We just came out of it and played a bad game. It's one loss. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, we're out of the postseason. It's one loss. Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk a little bit more about this. And also, we'll talk about one of the other issues that people want to point the finger at, and I think it's absolutely ludicrous. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. Stay tuned. Kevin Holden from CBS 58, along with Christina Tussell, also from CBS 58. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle, presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. We've got more right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Anytime you get punched in the mouth like that and really beaten handily in all three phases, you've got to be critical of yourself and learn from your mistakes. And the big thing that we cannot allow this loss to lead into a bad performance versus a really talented Houston Texan team. So you just can't allow one loss to become two.
Matt LaFleur talking about the Bucks loss going into this week. Heading into Houston, the good news is the Packers' first visit to Houston since the 42-24 win back in 2012. And while the Packers have only played at the Texans twice, it has played in the state of Texas now six times since 2010, including the postseason, and won every game, defeating the Cowboys four times and the Pittsburgh Steelers in Dallas, don't forget, for the Super Bowl. And each of those six contests, including the Texans, the Packers have scored over 30, which they need now to put the offense back on track, so to speak. 31, 42, 37, 34, 35, and 34. So hopefully that trend continues. Welcome back. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by our good friends over there at Bud Light Seltzer. Naturally carbonated, gluten-free, and includes no artificial flavors. Go to BudLight.com. Joining us, Kevin Holden from CBS 58, also Christina Tussell from the same. And I wanted to get back to a question that I had posed to me, saying that, it was a return of Devontae Adams and forcing the football, and that's what caused the turnovers. And I think the arguments of, look, they threw to Devontae Adams 17 times in a win against the Vikings. He caught 14 of them. Nobody complained about it. Then all of a sudden a couple of picks happen, and it's the worst thing in the world. Christina, I'll start with you, but the return of Devontae Adams is almost a ridiculous excuse for the loss when people want to point the finger by saying Devontae takes the focus away from everybody else. Would you agree?
Gosh, this is a tough one. Sure, I guess I would, but I also feel like sometimes the Packers are just a better team when Devontae's not playing. I look at what happened last year, and you know, they won four games with him on the sidelines. They won the game where he went out. I think it was against the Lions.
Was it Philadelphia or the Lions?
Maybe it was. It was. I'm talking about this season.
Was it the Lions? I think it was the Lions. You're right.
Yeah. I don't put as much credence into Devontae Adams as everybody else does. I get that he is a great receiver. I get that he is the Packers' top receiver. He has proven that. But I just look at other people that step up on this on this team week in and week out. And there are different heroes as we go throughout the Packers season, each and every game. We had Aaron Jones against the Vikings. We had Robert Tonyan against the Falcons. We had Alan Lazard against the Saints. I think the Packers can win with or without Davante Adams.
Kevin, I've said they can win without him, but can they go deep into the postseason without him?
The one thing that we know they're going to have trouble doing without him is dealing with some of the more elite defenses in the game. I think that's and in the end of the day, I think if we come back in December and we start talking about this Tampa Bay matchup and we look back with the, you know, 2 or 3 months of knowledge of the teams, I think we're going to look back and say, you know what? Tampa Bay is a really good defense. And then once they wrestled control of that game, they just maintained control of that game. The truth is, the team that's allowed the fewest number of yards per game in the NFL is Tampa Bay. The team that's allowed the fewest number of rushing yards per game in the NFL is Tampa Bay. So it's tough for me to make that decision about Davante Adams based on a game against a team that I think we're eventually going to look at when this is over and say, maybe that's one of the elite defenses in the NFL. I still think he's, in terms of experience, in terms of what he can get you among the receivers on the roster, I do think he's important, but I think that, you know, as Christina said, the thing that that balances it out, Aaron Rodgers makes other players into superstars, and he's done that his whole career. So, you know, Davante is a very good player, but essential, I don't know. I think Rodgers will find a way to make his heroes on the field.
So, Kevin, was the play calling then more the problem against the Bucs? And then in addition to that, I can take it a step further in the fact that the plays seemingly at times got in late and they got out of the huddle late. So more so, as Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur talked about, going into the bye week when everything was in, quote, a good flow, they just couldn't find that flow when they came back. And that is ultimately what did them in.
Yeah, and I think when you're talking about play calling, when you're talking about the flow of the game, once that momentum turn had happened, I think the thing that you learned that you didn't know at this point is that old adage about everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And that's what happened to them for literally, I think, the first time in the 2020 season. They landed, you know, the opponent landed a punch to the mouth. And it's, you know, there's a little bit of a jarring aspect to that. It doesn't just change your game calling or your game situational stuff because you're behind instead of ahead. It also changes the rhythm. It changes the confidence. It changes the momentum. And that's a first. It's, you know, something that the Packers hadn't really dealt with. The Vikings did put together a little bit of a stretch in that first week. But to me, that's where the difference was. Yeah, I think you could say, okay, the play calling and the flow of it was a little different, not because there were, you know, major changes or because something, you know, because LaFleur suddenly lost intelligence or Rodgers lost ability. It was because they got hit and that there was a little bit of a jarring aspect to it. I think it took them the rest of that game to recover from those. It was two interceptions in a 3-pass stretch, and that's they never recovered from it.
The play calling we can discuss, but Christina, do you think that they had talked about Tyler Ervin not being there and then obviously not using as much motion? I still go back to coming in and out of the huddle was probably one of their biggest nemesis because you only have 4 or 5 seconds when you get to the line of scrimmage. You don't have a lot of time for motion and hard counts and such. But when you talk about the play calling, not being able to use Tyler Ervin, not having Alan Lazard there. Some of the guys you've kind of figured into this offense that help you create a lot of that play action and misdirection, are they really hindered by missing those guys, and does that affect the play calling from Matt LaFleur the way he indicated?
I don't feel like I put a lot into Ervin missing this game. I kind of want to go back to what Kevin said all about the flow of this game, because that's just the sentiment that was echoed not only from Rodgers, but LaFleur. We were hearing from them post game in Tampa is that the tempo was just off in this one. You know, they didn't get to utilize the hard count. And Rodgers said that as practice was off all week, they were just slow getting in and out of the huddle. He even mentioned that in the first quarter, when they're up 10 to nothing, he still feels like they're playing at a deficit. They just never really felt ahead, even when they were ahead. I don't place it on one guy like Tyler Ervin being out, I don't think. I really place it on the flow of the game just never really being there.
Christina, back to you, but do you feel that the offensive line I was kind of shocked the way the offensive line, now granted they've been a little bit nicked up, and then with Bakhtiari going down in the second half didn't necessarily help, but were you surprised at how the offensive line got kind of pushed around and beat to the point of attack?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think Rodgers was sacked four times last Sunday.
Hurried like 13 or 14, yeah.
Right. It just looked messy. And he said, you know, protecting the quarterback is a group effort, but that line just looks different when Bakhtiari is not in it. I know he didn't practice yesterday. He didn't practice again today. That's going to be a huge, huge concern, obviously, going up against Houston, who's got J.J. Watt parked there just salivating over a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
Kevin, do you think the offensive line woefully underperformed in that contest?
Yeah, that's I'd say is one that you could say for sure. And it's one of those things where as a group, you're going to be able to put these performances, the 16 games, on a timeline and say, okay, here were your best ones and here were your worst ones. And I think you can safely say that you're talking about one of the worst ones. Now, what they would hope is that that's the worst one, that you don't have to worry about having that sort of issue going forward. One of the things that's going to help them in the weeks to come is the Packers are playing a couple of shell shock teams coming up. The Texans have one win, and they have defensively, they have really struggled. So that's going to help a little bit. And we know what's happening in Minnesota, and that's the next opponent back at Lambeau Field on November 1st. So the reward, as weird as it is on this schedule, is you had to go to Tampa in one of those perfect storms where everything went wrong. But now these next two, at least from a momentum standpoint, you should be able to take advantage of it, because those are two reeling football teams right now in Houston and Minnesota.
We are at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, I want to talk about one thing that the Packers do not do, and it would be out of their character if indeed they did it, but yet fans continue to clamor for it. This is the Bill Michaels Huddle. It's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good, brewed with a unique 5-step filtration process, ensures a cleaner finish, no lingering aftertaste, and only 100 calories. Go to BudLight.com. That is BudLight.com. Christina Tussaud from CBS 58 alongside Kevin Holden. I'm Bill Michaels. We've got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, we can't ride this roller coaster of feeling ourselves and reading all the clippings, you know, if it's going great, and then, you know, down in the dumps and not reading anything and feeling sorry for ourselves when we get beat like that. You know, you have to get off the surfboard and get off that wave, because this is a long season, and you have to find a process of preparation that works for you and move forward. But, you know, with all due respect, I'm just not going to go down that hypothetical route, because that's not the way I believe.
Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers. Not down in the dumps. You can't stay down in the dumps. You can't go up and down. You just got to continue to move and move forward. Welcome back. It's Bill Michaels Huddle presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. Cranberry, grapefruit, pineapple, strawberry flavors. Only 100 calories. Go to BudLight.com. That is BudLight.com. Joining me tonight, Kevin Holden, CBS 58. Christina Tussaud, also CBS 58. And Christina, I want to go to and ask you. You just heard Aaron there talk about you can't go up and down. This is one loss. It seems like this is like this one just devastating loss. Like it's one loss. I mean, do you look at it? Are we looking at it as more than that? And does it sound like they're taking it as more than that?
I should hope not. I think it's just the momentum that the Packers had built up through the first four games was so exciting to watch. And you just loved Aaron Rodgers being at the forefront of that. It was just this high-scoring, high-octane offense. As I talked earlier in the show, there was a different hero every week, whether it was Tanyan, Al Lazard, Aaron Jones. It was just – it was momentum, and it was wonderful to watch. And I just think with a slip-up like that, it's a little bit of a gut punch. But, no, you don't stay down in the dumps. You know, you're not the Washington Redskins. You're not the Philadelphia Eagles. You're still playing for something this season. You know, you've got a winning record right now, and I think you just move on.
Kevin, why do you think there's a sense that maybe this loss means something more? I mean, is it just because this is an NFC team? It was a team led by Brady. Maybe you're going to face him again. It's got a very similar feeling to what we witnessed last year against San Francisco. I mean, why does this just – I mean, to me it's a loss, but it seems like everybody's taking this thing so incredibly hard.
Yeah, you hit it on the head, which is in the Matt LaFleur era, in the two seasons now, one full and one partial season of the Matt LaFleur era, there have not been a lot of losses. But the losses that have happened, a fair number of them have been rough ones. And they did experience that last year, as you mentioned, where they went to San Francisco and what I think everybody thought could be a litmus test for the playoffs. And it didn't go well. That was a 37-8 loss. And at that moment, it was already kind of being set. It's like, oh man, these two teams could meet again. And is there going to be an answer this time? Well, they did meet again. It was for the NFC Championship and there wasn't an answer. It was a 37-20 game that time, but it was still just a first half beatdown. And I wonder if you're talking about any sort of mental residual that comes from that. Maybe that's the case. Maybe there's a thought that Tampa Bay could be a little bit like last year's San Francisco, a team that, hey, they could end up meeting again in the playoffs. And if it happens, what'll they have for them the next time? And with a defense like Tampa showed in this game, even though you're talking about October to January, the difference in the matchups being 3 months, it could be tough again for them. So yeah, it may be a case of deja vu, maybe a case of 2020's Tampa Bay is 2019's 49ers.
Christina, are they that evenly matched, the Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or if they play, say, 10 times, the Packers win 7 of them because they figured it out because they had an unquestionably bad game? Or do you feel that if they face this team down the stretch or in the postseason that, yeah, this is just wash, rinse, repeat when it comes to the way they performed against San Francisco last year?
Well, Kevin has me thinking because we talk about the first loss of the season. Why does this hurt so bad? These are not evenly matched teams. That Tampa Bay defense scares the hell out of me. Like, let's be real. Right. And this was against what was supposed to be one of the best, if not the best, offense in the National Football League. This was a true test for Tampa Bay too. And the Packers failed. You know, so maybe that is why we take this loss so hard. As we look at who the Packers have gone toe to toe with so far this season, the Vikings and the Falcons, just a cellar dweller party there. And then the Saints, the Lions, you know, this was the first time that they really had a chance to prove themselves against what could be the elite in the league. And they fell short. So I kind of contradicted myself going up against that previous answer. But maybe, you know, that is maybe why Packers fans are really feeling this one.
Kevin, do you think that, you know, you look at this and the Buccaneers were coming off of a loss to the Bears and they didn't perform well. And see, I thought just the opposite. This game gave me trepidation because the Packers' momentum was stopped. They were into a rhythm. And not to mention, you take the Buccaneers, you take Tom Brady coming out of an embarrassment in which he didn't know how – I don't care what they say. He didn't know how many downs there were in Chicago. They lose that ball game. They looked ugly doing it. They got beat by Nick Foles and company. I felt that Tampa Bay had a much more surly edge coming out to play this contest. And I think, you know, the next time the Packers prepare for them, I think it's a different outcome. But I could be wrong on this. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, they basically passed that baton, didn't they? They had a Sunday that they didn't like. They got upset about it. They had a Sunday that led to a little national embarrassment with the Brady thing with the downs. And I'm with you. You can cover that over all you want. I think we know what happened there. And they were upset. They were surly. They took it out on the Packers. Now the Packers are upset and surly, and I think they're about to take it out on the Houston Texans. And that's just a matter of circumstance, a matter of where Tampa Bay fell on the Packers' schedule, who it was after, what happened right before they played them. That can sometimes have an effect. So, yeah, I agree. So you move this to a different place in the schedule. You make Tampa week 3. I don't know if this happens. I think Tampa probably still wins that game, but it reminds me maybe of that the first loss last year, which was an Eagles game at home. And it was one of those where you kind of go, well, okay, that's a pretty good football team. I suppose that you'll lose a few of those as opposed to the sting of this loss. I still think out of 10 matchups, it might be 5-5 or even 6-4 in favor of Tampa, but I don't know if any of them would be as bad as this one was Sunday.
Christina, if you face this team down the stretch we just discussed, but do you think with a different preparation, a different attitude, more riding on this, obviously defense wins you championships, but that being said, and you know, you get your weapons back, that this offense just performs differently. I really believe that the way this offense performed in the first two drives, even though they felt out of sync, they were really good until the pick. And if they don't have the turnover, there might be a different outcome in this game. So I think if they face each other down the stretch or in the postseason, I don't know. Maybe I'm one of the few, but I really thought that last year San Francisco was going to beat the hell out of them. I don't think Tampa Bay would beat the hell out of them.
I mean, I don't think they beat the brakes off them like they did on Sunday. I think that, like you said, the Packers are going to have a little bit more spunk if they face this rematch, you know, down the line. But I also felt, not to pivot, but I also think that, you know, you point a finger at defense a little bit in this too, in the sense that they just kind of felt flat. This defense is always talking about being sticky on the back end, and they're just not that this season. So I think that that's like another huge area the Packers need to look at if they go into a rematch like this. I don't peg all the problems on offense. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't either. Now, is there help on the way in any way, shape, or form? Something the Packers don't normally do. And, Kevin, I'll start with you. With all the talk of Antonio Brown possibly going to Seattle, Dez Bryant being signed to the practice squad down in Baltimore, Baltimore also trying to bolster that defense even more so. You know, you're talking about teams that are near the tops or in the top of their division, and they're trying to get better. The Green Bay Packers pick up a linebacker who's been, you know, kind of surfing around, I guess might be the best way to put it. I don't want to knock his talent or ability. But do you think the Packers are kind of doing a disservice by not pushing those chips in whatever they seem to think, whether it's the last 2, 3, 5 years of Aaron Rodgers, by not pushing them to the middle of the table?
I think you're starting to get to that point now. I think we've been having this discussion for a few years about Rodgers in the prime of his career and what he's able to do. And at what point do you begin to leverage a little bit and start to try to push to now? It was something that Ted Thompson never did and eventually drew criticism for. I think this is the start of a pretty good time to do that. I think it's a good time to go and get some pieces if you can. I mean, in the NFL, it's a little bit different. I mean, you are, you know, a victim of what the circumstance is in that exact moment. Like Antonio Brown is available to you in this exact moment for a reason. And so if you get Antonio Brown, you may be getting a lot of other stuff with him. You're not just getting the player. The Packers have shown that they don't really want to take on the excess baggage when it comes to guys like that. But I do think this is the time. And I think receiver is the first place where you look. The Packers, taking criticism for how the way this receiver core looks right now, they did make an effort. I mean, Devin Funchess was supposed to be on this roster. COVID changed that. That's significant. So they might have to go find another Devin Funchess if there is one. I think it's a good time to do it.
Christina, do you think that if, say, they can't get themselves a wide receiver, I think, have things changed in your eyes? I mean, going into the draft, we all said, look, they need a linebacker. They need a wide receiver. They picked up Funchess. They picked up Kirksey. But we're still sitting here talking about the exact same things to the eyeball test that we said going into the NFL draft. I mean, not much has changed. Yes, Funchess opted out. And Kirksey, we knew what he is. And he does get nicked up. Is this team still sitting there with two glaring weaknesses that you got to say, you got to fill, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I would like to give Brian Gutekunst the benefit of the doubt and say that he is going to be a little bit more active during this window than, say, Ted was. But there's a lot of interesting options out there that can help out. I mean, the Packers' run defense has left a lot to be desired under two seasons of Matt LaFleur. I think they're allowing just almost 5 yards a carry. A guy like Shelby Harris could be a huge, huge help on something like that. Another interesting guy that I was thinking about today, and particularly because Matt LaFleur was asked about him yesterday, was Will Fuller. And we're going to get a chance to really, you know, see what he can do, obviously, this week against the Packers. But this is a wide receiver that could kind of be up for that 3 job, especially given the fact that Alan Lazard isn't in the rotation right now. He's a guy that can take some big downfield passes, possibly beat out MVS for a job. And he's worked with Matt LaFleur previously at Notre Dame. I mean, those are two very particular, precise names that I'm giving you. I understand. But I do think that Brian Gutekunst is going to make some moves here.
Well, Kevin, there was a little bit of a rumbling that came out today that possibly, and I think it was in The Athletic, that Julio Jones would make sense to move, not only in the fact that he wants to win, but the fact that, you know, obviously with his contract, and they are looking at a new head coach, a new system again. What are they going to do with Matt Ryan down the road? You know, all that kind of stuff. Would you think about considering moving Julio Jones? If they would, if you're the Packers, are you in on that at whatever cost?
Oh, man. That's another one of those names where it really hurts you to think about Julio Jones in terms of past Julio Jones, the Julio Jones that has done so much damage against the Packers when they've faced each other. That NFC Championship game is one, obviously, that's there. He's still going to be a beneficial receiver, but those numbers don't play quite the same year to year. And you're also talking about a guy who's now 31 years old. I still, if the price is a decent price, I still think you might need to make that effort, make that happen, because someone with experience as an elite wide receiver is a rare thing. And he may not necessarily be an elite receiver right now, but he's good enough for long enough that he'll help your team and he'll help the other receivers on your team. So, I mean, I just worry that price is a little steep. I worry that they want 2017 Julio Jones price for a 2020 Julio Jones. But if that's not the case, I'm all in.
Would you go after Odell Beckham Jr., Christina?
Oh, no, but can I say something about Julio Jones?
Yeah, go ahead.
So during my days in Georgia, I remember Kyle Shanahan saying at the time, who was, of course, offensive coordinator at the Falcons, that Julio Jones could catch a snowflake in a wind tunnel. And I still think that there is definitely some value there. As Kevin said, it's going to come with a significantly different price tag on it. But I definitely still think that there's value in Jones. And we look at what happened with Jordy Nelson when he lost a step and he became a huge threat for the Packers in the red zone. It's not to say that you can't repurpose a player like Julio. So I would love it if the Packers took a look at him.
Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll come back. We'll take a quick break after that. And then we're going to take more a look at the trade deadline. Also, a game has been moved, and we'll have to talk about whether or not the NFL can sustain. And that's an interesting topic within itself. Stay tuned. Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle. Kevin Holden, Christina Tussaud from CBS 58 alongside. We are presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. Only 100 calories. Go to BudLight.com. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I mean, it's a little weird. Actually, you know, I was in Dallas last year and we played the Packers. It was a very weird feeling after being in Green Bay for 8 years, you know, giving everything to that organization. To play them, it was weird being on the other sidelines, but you know, it's a new year, a different situation, and really we're just looking to go 1-0 this week.
Those are the words of Randall Cobb. A tough situation down there in Texas, Houston specifically, as the Texans have not been a good football team, and their head coach has since been fired, Romeo Crennel, the new guy. And he is just trying to get wins at this point. Welcome back to Bill Michaels Huddle, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, Unquestionably Good. Christina Tussaud, Kevin Holden from CBS 58, joining me tonight. The Raiders-Buccaneers game has been moved from Sunday night to Sunday afternoon. There are fears of COVID as more Raiders players and front office staff have tested positive. Let me ask you this, and Christina, I'll start with you. Have you been impressed with the way the NFL has handled this? Because I don't know if there were a lot of people that thought that we would get 6 weeks into the NFL season without massive restructuring of the schedule and massive amount of postponed games.
Impressed? No. But I also feel like the only way I'm going to be impressed is if a sporting league handles the COVID era like the NBA did. They kind of set like the golden precedent for me. I am shocked that they've made it this far, but the Major League Baseball season also played out, and I never thought in a million years that was going to happen. God, I don't even know how to answer your question here. Is it just that I'm impressed? Am I impressed that we've made it to week six?
Well, I do you think the season's going to go off without a hitch, or do you think that there is going to be – do you think the Super Bowl ends up the first Sunday in February, or does it end up getting pushed back, in your opinion?
I do, and I just think that that's because the dollar signs that are behind it all. I mean, we all know that this league makes 2/3 of its revenue off of TV rights, and I think that that will be the driving factor to get us to the Super Bowl.
Kevin?
Yeah, that's your answer right there. I mean, it's driven by the dollar, and it's interesting to see. I think every season, every major sports season has had two parts to it. Baseball was a perfect example. Baseball got underway. I don't know if everybody involved took it quite so seriously, and you had major outbreaks in the first few weeks on a couple of different teams, and everybody said, wow, if we don't take care of this now, we're not going to have a season. And everybody buckled down, and now you had a Major League Baseball season that made it all the way to the end. So I think the NFL, we're going to look back at it in a sort of a similar way. You have early on, you had a bunch of rearranging of schedules, and now you've got television network driven decisions on game times that are happening because of COVID. But if this is the toughest thing that happens from here, I think the NFL is going to be all right. All they have to do is do some game time swaps, I don't mind it. I think if that's the price to pay, and I think it may be, I think they've got it that much under control, I think it'll be all right.
Christina, do you think we see a Super Bowl with more than 10,000, 15,000 fans, or do you think that it's going to be a very weird, surreal scene come Sunday, February, whatever the first Sunday in February is, down in Tampa Bay?
I think the NFL will let fans in. Just seeing what Major League Baseball has done with fans in the last couple of weeks, I think the NFL will end up kind of following suit. I mean, I think it's going to take a sizable outbreak within the National Football League for something to really throw a wrench in their plans. But yes, as far as fans go, I think there will be fans in the stands come Super Bowl.
Kevin?
Yep, I think you'll see something. I think the NFL, you know, Christina said it, like the NFL wants it. It's a centerpiece of America. I think that question might be posed better to like what the caseloads look like and deaths and that sort of thing. And I don't feel real optimistic about that by February, but I think they're going to find a way to go. If they can go 15, 20,000, maybe 30, I think they'll do it if there's any way possible.
I hope we're all there convening and enjoying. And it's going to be, by the way, on CBS. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Okay. I threw that out there. It was like a softball. I was waiting for you to hit it the hell out of the park.
Are we supposed to do a plug here, Kevin?
Oh, by the way, we're going to have a flyover, and we're not going to have Joe Buck or Troy Aikman calling it. That's for damn sure. You know, there you go. That was your softball.
By the way, CBS 58, you're home for the Super Bowl. There you go.
1 hour down, 1 hour yet to go. Stay tuned. A whole lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle presented by Bud Light Seltzer coming up right after this.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis, the best interviews, the best coverage, and no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome, hour number two, the Bill Michaels Huddle. Glad you're here tonight. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. Packers getting ready to take on the Houston Texans, and that is coming up this Sunday. Packers looking to snap the one-game loss, and I'm not even going to say streak because you got to have more to have a streak. But just to come out of this a little bit better, Kevin Holden from CBS 58, also Christina Tussaud, the same, joining me tonight on the panel. We're presented by Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good. I'll start with you, Christina. If they win this game, now they're expected to win, but if they win this game by, say, 20, are we going to look at this and go, well, the Texans are just a bad team? Or are we talking about the Packers beating a team that they're supposed to beat by a large margin?
No, I think you put some value. I think any week that you can pull off a win in the National Football League counts. I sound like Matt LaFleur. That's exactly what he would say during press conference. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that. And I also believe, too, that while the Texans have had a rough go this season, they've got great players. I mean, I would never sleep on a quarterback like Deshaun Watson in the arsenal that he has. I think that if you can pull off a win defensively, that's a win for the Packers.
Kevin?
I think it's a tough situation for Green Bay because you hit it right on the head. If they win by 20, the world looks at it as Houston is a bad football team. If for heaven's sake, if they lose, we're going to have everything upside down to start November. But if they, even if it's like a 4 or 5 point win, I think we're going to be talking about the narrative or the things that will be talked about will be falling short of expectations and how, you know, whatever good player bailed them out. I don't know if that all that is necessarily fair. I'm not saying that they deserve any of that, but I think that's how this could be because the Packers are favored in this game on the road. It's not they're not a huge favorite. It's not like a 10-point favorite or anything, but coming off of that Tampa Bay game, it's easier to look at this in a more skeptical light. It's probably not the way it should be, but it's the way it is.
So the Packers looking to get after Deshaun Watson in this upcoming game. The Texans, don't get me wrong, have a pretty good pass rush with J.J. Watt and company. But the Packers really need to kind of show something when it comes to getting after the quarterback. Matt LaFleur earlier today was asked about why the pass rush is not right now up to their standards. This is what he had to say.
We just got to keep working. We got to keep working to get better. Certainly it hasn't been as to the level that we want, and we definitely know we need to get more rush on opposing quarterbacks just to make their life uncomfortable. I think it's tough on quarterbacks when you're able to hit home, whether it's with four or a pressure. So it's something that we've been working hard on, and hopefully that'll show, you know, in this next game.
Kevin, do you think that he talks about the pass rush, and it's a lot of we hope to get it done, whether we rush for three or four, whether we blitz. I mean, you know, the bottom line is the pass rush has not been that good. What do you see as part of the problem?
I think you're looking for a combination of guys who can put pressure on the quarterback. When you talk about in general, when you talk about a pass rush, it's you can look at one guy, but defenses in the NFL can map around one guy if they don't have a lot of other options that are available. And I just think we haven't seen multiple guys flash. It just doesn't remind me of the way last year looked with the Smiths, both of them, Preston and Za'Darius, and how great they looked and how much we talked about Kenny Clark. Obviously his absence in some of these games has meant something. I do think this is the kind of game where you can get healthy on that front because against Deshaun Watson in five games this year, there are, and I'm trying to do math in my head here, 15 sacks in five games. There's been at least one in every game. And early in the season, he was sacked four times in the opener and five times in the second game. So they have improved that a bit, but their sacks have been an issue for Houston's offensive line. So this could be a get healthy kind of thing. I think one, it's you don't see a lot of guys flash, and two, maybe you haven't had an opportunity like you have this week.
Christina, do you see them getting healthy, I guess would be the best way to put it, coming upon the pass rush this weekend defensively?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't like going up against a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. I think that he's highly underrated. Now, his line's obviously going to have to go to work for him, but you know, Matt LaFleur was asked in one of his very first press conferences of this week of prep, you know, what scares you about the Texans? And his response was the explosive play, their ability to go for the explosive play. And as we know, the Packers have had a terrible track record of giving that up over the last two seasons. So I think the name of the game here is just going to be pressure and being aggressive, you know, I don't know, the especially given what the Smiths have done this season. They were so great last year, and it's just taken a while for that duo that the Packers really leaned on to get going. I mean, I don't know that Preston Smith has registered a sack all season, has he?
Half sack. That's what he's got to his name. Yeah, half sack. Hey, Kevin, let me ask you this. When it comes to the defensive backfield, I'm reading a lot of praise for Jaire Alexander. I mean, when you talk about a defense that is susceptible in many different areas, What a season, apparently, according to anyway, Pro Football Focus and those insiders and such regarding the NFL and the NFL Network. That guy's really, really blossomed, hasn't he?
Man, yeah. And here is the thing, because if you're a Packers fan, you lived a recurring nightmare for, man, 5 years, 6 years, something like that. You had an offense that could set records and a defense that could also set records, but for the wrong reason. And it happened year after year. I mean, the Packers made an NFC championship game with a secondary that was almost off the street. I mean, it was crazy. And this is reassuring. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of a purist to think that things have to be a certain way. But I feel like if you're a team that's going to compete for a championship, one of the things you have to do is you've got to be good in that secondary. The way this league is, with all the great quarterbacks and great passing games in the league, you've got to be able to fight back at that portion of the game. And you see a Jaire Alexander, and you see other guys too, Adrian Amos and these guys that have helped these younger players develop and move along. And it's nice to have a little swagger back there. And Jaire is that guy. I mean, Tuso can tell you, and you and Bill, you know as well, that Jaire's not afraid to tell you he's great. And I love that as long as he shows it, and he has so far.
Christina, I really like the way he's been playing, the aggressiveness, but more so what he has not done, and that's give up consistent big plays. It seems like from some of the mistakes he had last year, he has learned. Do you see his game even better this season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we saw it from week one and what he did against the Minnesota Vikings with a sack on Kirk Cousins, and I think it was his first career interception. I just think that he has come leaps and bounds in his third year. Unfortunately, he can't do it alone. I do think that Amos has lost a step. Josh Jackson showed a little bit of promise last week, but he needs help. And then Kevin King's availability is just awful. But Jaire is a stud in my mind. I mean, he's probably one of my favorite Packers of this year's team. And I loved listening to him this week because he's so smart and he listens. He takes it in. He said this afternoon that the theme of this week has been accounting for two plays, the original play and the one that Deshaun Watson will create for himself. So he knows exactly what the task is at hand every single week. And then the last thing that I love about him is he wants the responsibility of covering that opposing team's top receiver, and he wants to do it alone. And that is, it's that kind of cockiness, that kind of swagger that you want to see in a guy in your secondary to have that sticky backfield.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. A lot more to get to, including at the bottom of the hour. We'll start making our picks for around the rest of the NFL. Christina Tussaud, Kevin Holden, CBS 58. I'm Bill Michaels. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. Cranberry, grapefruit, pineapple, strawberry flavors. You can go to BudLight.com to see all that they have to offer. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Huddle next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Losses or defeats, if you take a defeat, you can be a man about that and live with that. But if you didn't go out there and give your personal best and take a defeat, can't sleep at night or live with that. Those other teams are trying to win a championship too. The margin for error is super small in this league, right? You guys know that. And so, you know, our attitude and our morale is up. That locker room is, you know, as vibrational as it can be. You know, we got started out on the right foot today. Going to continue the preparation and lead us right into Sunday.
Welcome back to the program. Those are the words of Mercedes Lewis. Got to forget about it. Got to move on. And I like what he had to say. I mean, it's rings very true. I mean, you know, you stack success each day. You hear it. It's very cliche, but it's the truth, for lack of a better term. Welcome back. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle presented by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer. Bud Light Seltzer, naturally carbonated, gluten-free, and includes no artificial flavors. Go to BudLight.com. That is BudLight.com. Christina Tussaud and Kevin Holden, both from CBS 58 in Milwaukee. And it seems like, and I'll go back to the question we talked about a little while ago, guys, is that that this is just one of those games, for whatever reason, maybe it's just because they were rolling along so incredibly well and then the wheels just seemingly fell off. It seems like there's, I go back to again, it's just a loss. You get this ship right. And you start to look down the road, you know, if you knock off Houston, Minnesota is kind of flailing right now. Your next big game really is on the road against San Francisco. But I looked at the schedule and I picked them to be still 13-3. So, Christina, if they still end up at 13-3, that's a hell of a season. Most likely they're not losing within the division again. And that being said, they may still end up being the home field bye and advantage when it comes to the NFC, right? Is Christina there? Do we lose her? Kevin, how about you?
Well, I'll say this much. It's interesting how you can get lulled into this kind of thing. And we are really, really fortunate in the Aaron Rodgers era, most of it, almost every year of it, in that if they went 13-3 and they didn't lose again in the division, I don't think anybody would be really shocked. And I don't think anybody would be like, completely, you know, jumping up and down either, like over excitement. In other words, you almost can sleepwalk to 13-3, and that would be back-to-back years of 13-3. That would be something that 90% of the NFL would absolutely love to do, and it's what this Packers team is 100% capable of. And you hit it right on the head too, that timing is a big part of this particular loss. It is only one loss. If this happened in week 13, when you feel like you've got the identity of this team down, I don't know if you're as concerned about it. There's some concern if it happens later, but you know, I don't know if it's quite the existential crisis that seems to have come out of this. I don't think that'll be the case going forward. Like you said, I feel like Houston's a win. I feel like Minnesota's a win. And even if they lose to San Francisco, I think they've got a good few months ahead.
Christina, now give me your thoughts. We got you back, but give me your thoughts. This team still, the way I look at it, if I went through the wins and losses, they lose maybe at San Francisco, maybe you lose against the Tennessee Titans. Other than that, I can honestly say I can see them winning each and every game. 13-3, still a hell of a season. You could still end up with a first-round bye.
Oh, definitely. And I definitely think it's absolutely doable. You know, Matt LaFleur set the standard in his first season at Green Bay that this is a playoff-worthy and playoff-contending team. I don't think that they've dropped back-to-back games, you know, since he joined the Packers. And even when we look at the 49ers right now, I mean, I understand what they did last year, and they're a talented team, but I don't put all my faith into Jimmy Garoppolo, and they're incredibly banged up. That game's coming up on November 5th. So I think the Packers can definitely pull that record off, or potentially better.
Kevin, when you look at the way the rest of the NFC has shaped up, obviously you got to look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and say, look, that's a pretty tough team, and if they put it together, they're going to be extremely tough. Seattle's undefeated, and I give them all the credit in the world. If they do pick up Antonio Brown, it gives them another weapon. Defensively speaking, I think they still have some flaws. The Rams are playing extremely good. We're going to see them against the Bears this weekend. Who are some of the other teams that you think of in this NFC, if you go, say, 1-5, 1-6, that are dangerous?
You know, when you're looking at at the way the NFC shapes up right now, it is it's a league of aging quarterbacks. Rodgers, Breeze, Brady. I mean, Russell Wilson is younger. He doesn't really fall into that category, but these guys are starting to advance a little bit. I wonder if there isn't somebody lurking a little bit behind that could jump up and do something. Arizona's a team that comes to mind. They're young. They're 4-2. Their point differential is second best in the NFC at plus 54. The Buccaneers are number one at plus 55. Arizona's tough. I think people might sleep a little bit on the Rams because they had that down year last year versus the year before when they made the Super Bowl. That could be tough. I don't know if I am ready to anoint the Bears even at 5-1. I think I feel about the Bears the way some people felt about last year's Packers. There's a little bit of air inflated into that record. I don't know if they're quite in that category, but if they're a team that happens to be picking up wins, they're going to be dangerous too. So it's weird. You're looking at, I mean, look, the East is a fire. It's terrible. The entire NFC East. But outside of that, you got five or six teams that I think would be a lot of fun to watch in the NFC Championship game.
Christina, do you believe in, we'll talk more about this when we make our picks, but do you believe in the Chicago Bears?
Oh, my gosh. I remember listening to Aaron Rodgers say last year, I don't care if we win ugly all the way to the Super Bowl. And I just have this ugly feeling that the Bears are going to be that team. And they're going to do it behind their defense. But the Bears scare me right now. They really do. They're finding ways to win ugly games, and that kind of speaks volumes in the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, I kind of just see the Buccaneers as a huge threat. They really made a statement last week, and I just think that the allure that comes with having Tom Brady under center is enough to make you a playoff contending team.
Yeah, I still think there is something to be said about a veteran quarterback. I still think there's something to be said about a guy that can lead his team, a balanced team. I think last year, Kevin, looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers losing their games by less 7 or less points, and a lot of those had to be bad decisions regarding Jameis Winston and numerous picks. If I had to pick a team right now that I thought might be, and I, again, just last week we were talking about the Packers were the team to beat. They were the flavor of the week. The new flavor of the week suddenly has become the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, more so because of the belief in their defense than I have in their offense. But their offense, when at full strength, is extremely good, and they have weapons in many different facets.
They do, and they profile really well in terms of the points they score and the points they allow, which is if you've got a defense that shows up many weeks – and you've got a quarterback who knows as much about winning as anybody in football history, and he's going to help you to some wins some weeks. If the defense doesn't show up, that's significant. The two losses they have, Saints, and as you mentioned, the one-point loss to the Bears, where it was just a total hiccup, a mental hiccup as much as anything. They're going to be a little more than a flavor of the week. I don't know if they'll be everyone's NFC favorite in another 2 or 3 weeks when the current – you know, state of things is different. I think the Packers may return to that at some point, but the Buccaneers are a force to be reckoned with and a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs. Because remember, Brady's got a little chip on his shoulder with how things ended playoff wise in New England. That's going to be significant.
I really, I like the way the Seattle Seahawks are playing. I think that they're a very veteran football team. And I think that when it comes to, because last week we were talking about Aaron Rodgers being an MVP candidate, Christina, and he still will be. I mean, I think the way this team has the capability to play and the way he can spread the ball around and everything, and I'm not going to just take one bad game against a very good defense as something to say I'm going to throw that all away. But the guy that doesn't get a lot of respect when it comes to the MVP voting is Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson, what he's doing out in Seattle this year has been nothing short of phenomenal. I think between Russell Wilson, the fact that Pete Carroll's been there, done that, and they can figure out just enough defensively, I still think if I had to pick my top two or three teams, I think it's Tampa Bay, I think it's Seattle, I think it's the Packers, and it may not even necessarily be in that order. Would you look at it that same way? I think we lost Christina again, as a matter of fact. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get Christina back on the line. We got Kevin Holden from CBS 58 as well alongside. When we come back, we're going to take a look around the rest of the NFL and start making picks. Got a game in progress tonight. The Giants at 1-5 taking on the 1-4-1 Philadelphia Eagles tonight. Both of these teams basically stink on ice, but they're trying to gain a little bit of respectability. We'll get into that. And the rest of the NFL lineup, including going back to that Chicago team that is going to be taking on the LA Rams, traveling out to the West Coast this coming weekend as well. Stay tuned. You got more of the Bill Michaels Huddle. It's brought to you by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer. Bud Light Seltzer, unquestionably good. It's naturally carbonated, gluten-free, includes no artificial flavors. And don't forget the 5-step filtration process that ensures a cleaner finish and no lingering aftertaste, only 100 calories. That's for all the information, by the way, go to BudLight.com. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, I mean, the attention to detail is there. I'm not so sure that it's been, you know, anything's been extremely off. Off of last week, I never saw anything that looked glaring to me that, you know, we weren't prepared or we weren't practicing the right way with the mistakes. People knew what they were, you know, what the mistakes were, repeated some plays and got them right. So I think everybody's mind is right at this point.
Those are the words of Devontae Adams talking about getting better. And I don't, you know, Devontae Adams is good. I think there's a lot of pressure put on Devontae Adams to be better. I just think that, you know, the more the guys around him are better, it's going to make everybody better, not just Devontae Adams. And might be a little bit of a different narrative there after the game this weekend as maybe things get put back on the track. Welcome back to the program. It's Bill Michaels Huddle. It's presented by Bud Light Seltzer. And again, it's brewed with a five-step filtration process, cleaner finish, no lingering aftertaste, only 100 calories, different flavors. And also it's go to BudLight.com. That is BudLight.com. Time now to run around the rest of the NFL and start to make our picks. We'll start out. Christina, I think, is back. Christina Tussaud. Tonight you've got the Eagles hosting the Giants. Both of these teams, one win on the season. And the Eagles jump out to an early lead. But Christina, I'll talk to you.
Oh, the dumpster fire that is the East. All right. Carson Wentz, 9 picks in 6 games, I think. And I think the Eagles will be playing without Ertz and Miles Sanders. I don't think the Giants' defense is that bad. Famous last words. So I'll take the Giants in this one. It's also going to be a homecoming for Joe Judge going back to Philly.
Kevin?
Do I have to, like, can I predict a 24-24 tie and a mutual demotion to the CFL? Like, I'm all on board with that.
No, relegation.
Relegation game. Loser goes to the CFL. No, I'll go Giants. Begrudgingly, I'll go Giants.
There you go. Then you got the other game on the docket. That is the Lions. Talk about two more craptastic teams. The Lions at 2-3. The Falcons at 1-5 are hosting the Lions. As much as I want to think that I have some type of belief in the Lions, I still think Matt Patricia has got 1 foot out the door. He's got his hat off. He's heading to his car, and he's probably heading through a drive-thru. I'm going to pick the Falcons to get their second win of the season and suddenly feel as if they're turning things around. With an interim head coach, the Lions go to 2-4 in the season. Kevin, I will go back to you.
Oh, man. Again, I think both of these, CFL needs to happen to the loser of this game. The only thing that's working in the Lions' favor is their 2 wins have come away from home. And for that reason, I say they go to Atlanta and get a win. But, man, please, nobody bet anything based on that pick. No one.
Christina?
There's something to be said for momentum, kind of like you were talking, Bill. Matt Ryan trying to mix things up offensively. Of course, you've got Julio Jones back in the mix. And as we saw last week, he can still find the end zone. I'm still waiting on this breakout game in Atlanta for Todd Gurley. Maybe this will be it. I've got the Falcons.
Got the Falcons. Let's go back over to you, Christina, as you got the 4-2 Browns. The 1-4 and 1 Bengals. The Browns, all kinds of criticism now sprinkling down on Baker Mayfield. His wife is now defending him, and it's not going over well in the locker room, and his wife is PO'd at all the comments, and very quietly the Bengals are sitting there at 1-4-1. I don't think the Bengals are worth a lick, but I do like Joe Burrow, but I think Zach Taylor is way in over his head, and they're probably going to hang on to him for at least another year or two just because they don't want to pay him to go away. But 1-4-1 Cincinnati. I'm going to pick Cincinnati in the Battle of Ohio, which I know is a dumb thing to do, but I just got a gut feeling. Christina?
I don't think it's dumb. I think this game for Baker Mayfield is a personal one. They want to bounce back. He had his worst career game versus the Steelers, and Cleveland knows how to win this season. They're figuring it out. I think that Cincinnati will be an easy one for them to put away.
Kevin?
I'm going with you. I'm going Bengals. The Browns have allowed the most points in the AFC, and they are the Browns. There's just something about the Browns that they come back to earth in my mind. I think it happens this week.
Carolina goes on the road, and they are sitting at 3-3 even so far. And then you got the 3-2 New Orleans Saints, who are also not only trying to figure out how to win a game, but they're trying to figure out where to play a game because they would rather go to LSU, where they're allowed to have fans, as opposed to being at home, where the city has said no, they will not allow them fans. So they've been battling with the city. I'm going to pick the Panthers in this one to get a road win. Kevin, back to you.
I think the Saints, to me, this is one of those times where I'm not taking anything other than just the better team. And I'm going to pick the Saints. And in a week, you can laugh at me and I'll probably regret it, but I'm taking the Saints.
The Saints in this one, he's got Christina.
I don't like the Panthers without Christian McCaffrey, who, again, out with an ankle. And Teddy Bridgewater looked like garbage last week. I think if you put 3,000 crazy New Orleans fans in the Superdome, maybe they've got a chance. I'll go Saints.
So then you've got the Buffalo Bills, who are at 4-2. This is not even a matchup. They're playing the Jets. The Jets suck. I'm just going to take the Buffalo Bills. Christina, back to you.
So 0-6 Jets. Bills off a loss. I think the Jets are known for giving up a big explosive play. Bills, I think, in top five in the league in passing yards. Maybe Josh Allen can make something happen here in a statement game. I'll go Bills.
Kevin?
Bills all day long, man. I'm going – if the Jets don't go 0-16, they're going to go 0-16 in my picks.
This is the game that I wish – I wish the Packers played later in the day, and this game was either earlier or later, vice versa. But the Steelers undefeated at 5-0, taking on the Titans undefeated at 5-0. And I am salivating at watching this game. I'm not going to be able to, but I'm going to DVR this thing and watch it later on, and just to watch it, for lack of a better term. I'm taking the Titans in this one. As much as I feel that the Steelers are probably the most balanced team in the National Football League, I'm taking the Titans at home in that run game up against those linebackers and those outside backers, including T.J. Watt of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kevin?
It is the game – for all this terrible football we've been talking about, now you have this game that will make me sit down and watch it. And you're right. I wish it was in a different time slot. I'm going Steelers here, but both of these teams have been super impressive. Five-game win streaks each. You could see it either way. I'll go Pittsburgh.
Then you've got to the – oh, Christina, I'm sorry. Christina, go ahead and make your pick here.
I think – I just wasn't that impressed with what the Titans did last week against the Texans. They virtually got themselves into a shootout with Houston. I thought that should have been an easier team for them to put away. Steelers, I think, allowing like the second fewest rushing yards behind Tampa this year. If they can bottle up a guy like Derrick Henry, I'll go Steelers.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break coming up here in a minute. I want to get one more game in, and that's the Cowboys. The Cowboys are just – now you got fingers being pointed about Mike McCarthy. We haven't even talked about this, and we could probably pause a minute to do so, but they're taking on a 1-5 Washington football team. And in the meantime, the Cowboys, they turn the ball over. They're horrific right now when it comes to their turnover ratio. I think they're minus 12. And they Andy Dalton threw again just errant passes that went to nobody or went to the other team. It just seems like things are in a disarray. But the fact that they're still on top in the division, yeah, they should win this game. I'm going to pick the Cowboys to win and be at 3-4 sitting there still on top of the NFC East. Christina?
Yeah, I don't know. Saying that you're the best of the worst just doesn't do a lot for me. I think it starts in the locker room, and it feels like Mike McCarthy has lost that. He's lost his touch. We kind of saw it here in Green Bay. Now it's rolling over into Dallas. I just don't know that he has the faith of the players, and Dallas is already up to, you know, kind of a rough season already. I'm going Washington.
Kevin?
I'll say this. Nobody in the NFL has allowed more points than the Dallas Cowboys. And I think at the end of the day, the good stuff that they could do on offense is going to be offset by the fact that they can't do anything on defense. This feels peak Fire Capers era McCarthy, but it's in Dallas, and I think Washington wins this game.
See, let me pause a minute. Is this some kind of justification for everything that we heard leak out about Mike McCarthy? Is this, you know, and again, it could have been exaggerated, but we're seeing the same thing start to happen down there. And maybe it's not so much about Mike McCarthy, but more so about Mike Nolan, his buddy, who many seem to feel is in over his head when it comes to calling the defense and setting it up. But is this, watching this team almost founder at this point with a lot of the similarities and problem-wise that they had here in Green Bay going on down there, even with the loss of Dak Prescott, does this vindicate the Green Bay Packers for letting Mike go, Kevin?
I think you can easily make the case that the underbelly, the downside of the McCarthy era here, which was not just defensive problems, but also the bickering. Remember the offseason pieces and this person pointing a finger at this person? The fact that that's happening after six games is a little bit of indication. I am not saying that McCarthy is not a highly successful NFL coach, because he is and he has been. But the problems that he ran into in Green Bay are happening in Dallas right now, and they're not happening with the benefit of having won a Super Bowl in Dallas. So I think if you're a Green Bay fan, you remember this. You recognize how this looks.
some players, Christina, have said that, you know, hey, the players, somebody in that locker room needs to take responsibility because McCarthy's not fumbling the ball. McCarthy's not missing tackles. He's not dropping passes. He's not falling down. He's not throwing errant passes. That is not on him. So do you say that because he didn't have an offseason, didn't have OTAs, couldn't stand in front of the team, couldn't sit there and talk to him, explain his philosophies, get to know these guys, do you give Mike McCarthy a pass, or do you feel that this season will do too much damage? Therefore, he's pretty much, I don't want to say a lame duck, but he's kind of a guy on a sinking ship coming into next season.
Yeah. If this hadn't happened in Green Bay before, I would give him a pass. But seeing as how this seems to be kind of a sounding like a broken record at this point, I think, you know, all fingers kind of point towards Mac at this point. I also kind of feel, though, that we're in a new wave in the NFL. This is about the McVays. This is about the Shanahans and the LaFleurs. And McCarthy feels like an old school coach. I just don't know if it fits anymore.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll look at the rest of the NFL lineup, including the Green Bay Packers going down to Houston, taking on the Texans. We'll make our picks regarding that game as well. Stay tuned. This is the Bill Michaels Huddle, presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I mean, I don't think it's anything groundbreaking besides playing in our gaps and tackling. I mean, that's it. I don't think there's any, like, magic potion we need to sprinkle on it. We need to do our jobs, and we need to tackle.
Welcome back. That is J.J. Watt. What's the matter with the Texans' defense? They've got all kinds of issues there. Bill Michaels Huddle continues on. It's presented by Bud Light Seltzer. By the way, this week on the bye, you got the Colts, the Jaguars, the Vikings, and the Titans coming up. So interesting look at the week when it comes to not the Titans because the Titans are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you got an interesting week coming up. You've got Seattle and the Raiders and the Saints and the Patriots on the bye as well. So a lot of different football being played this week as teams are taking the week off, and we are into the bye weeks now. Patriots and 49ers going to be going at it later on. This is all wrong. I don't know what I'm looking at here. Somebody printed this out, and it's not correct because you got the Titans playing this week. The Vikings are not playing this week. I know that. I think they added the Titans in by mistake because the Vikings, the Jaguars, are not playing this week, and then the Colts are not playing this week. So, okay, yeah, they added the Titans in by mistake. So, okay, get rid of that. There you go. I just wanted to, because it sounded funny to me, and I knew the Titans were playing. That being said, I had to go through that mentally out loud. It's kind of like doing math on the air. You don't ever do it. From CBS 58, Kevin Holden, and also Christina Tussaud here as well. And, yeah, I had to go through this. I was sitting here looking at the footballdiehards.com website, and they said the ones that are on the bye this week, and they added the Titans in, and that is incorrect. Let's get back to it, by the way, because we are talking about the games coming up this weekend and finishing off our picks in the next 5 minutes. Got the Buccaneers at 4-2, taking on the Raiders at 3-2. And I don't know why I like the Raiders in this game, even though the Buccaneers played extremely well. Maybe it's a letdown game. Maybe it's a trap game. But I'm liking the Raiders in this one. Christina, who you got?
I just think it's all about momentum for the Bucs. We saw what they can do against one of the top offenses in the league. The Raiders are not a top offense, and I go Bucs.
Kevin?
I almost slipped into Mike McCarthy for a second. Raiders, uncommon opponent. sorry. That's it. Yeah, I'm going Buccaneers here.
So we continue on, and we look at the Kansas City Chiefs that in a divisional game sitting at 5-1 on the season. Meanwhile, the Denver Broncos just struggling just to get through. I mean, for as much as John Elway did for that franchise, bringing in Peyton Manning and turning it around and being able to get themselves a Super Bowl, it has been uphill sledding ever since. I take the Chiefs on the road. Kevin, back to you.
Chiefs. This is going to be a 2-touchdown win at least.
Christina?
You know when you want to, like, punt on the rest of your season so that you can get a good draft pick? I just want the Broncos to punt on their season to get Elway out of the front office and Vic Fangio off
the
sideline. I take the Chiefs.
She's got the Chiefs in this one.
There's
as well.
Then we,
there you go. Then you go to the Jacksonville Jaguars sitting at 1-5. The Chargers sitting at 1-4. And both teams have shown signs that they can – play with anybody. They just can't beat anybody. The Chargers being at home, it's difficult to go from East Coast to West Coast. Therefore, I'm going to take the Chargers just strictly on the travel time based upon that. And, Kevin, I'll go back over to you.
Yeah, I think you hit it right. The Packers struggled. You remember when they went out there out west, and the Jaguars are not nearly as good of a team, just in general, not as good of a franchise, not as good a logo, not as good as anything. It's going to be the Chargers in this one.
Christina?
Yeah, no California dreaming for these East Coast teams these days. I also think these Chargers just desperate for the first win at home, and I love Justin Herbert, big Pac-12 guy. Loved watching him play in the Rose Bowl, and I'll take the Chargers.
By the way, I know I'm not a complete idiot, because this week the Titans were not supposed to be playing. Remember, this is the game that got rescheduled because of the bye week. Yes. Okay, so I'm not a complete idiot. I'm like, how could that be so wrong? I wrote that down and checked it at the beginning of the season. So I just didn't fill in the blank after the game was rescheduled. But I thought for a minute there I was smoking rope, and I just didn't realize it. Let's get back to it. You've got the San Francisco 49ers sitting at 3-3, the Patriots at 2-3. A game under 500 after five games played. That hasn't happened to Bill Belichick in since forever, since Moses was a baby. I'm going to take the Patriots at home to get back to 3-3. Even though the 49ers are getting, you know, their players back, they're coming back to full strength, I still think very difficult West Coast to East Coast. Christina, back over to you.
I think San Francisco is still just a little too banged up. I mean, I like Jerick McKinnon a lot. I covered him in college at Georgia Southern, but he's not the guy to get this job done. I think this is going to fall back on who's got the better quarterback, maybe the more mobile quarterback. I take the Patriots with Cam Newton.
Kevin?
Yeah, we're going Patriots here only because we're getting close to Halloween, and if you could think of a coach that would play an evil person on Halloween or any other week of the year, it would be Belichick. So he's going to pull the old tricks with a fiery pitch against the Niners this week.
Now, the team that was shuffled is the Seahawks and the Cardinals, because the game between the Buccaneers and the Raiders was moved to the afternoon because of the fear of COVID. The Raiders right now dealing with some COVID cases. We'll wait and see if their facility is able to open back up and in time for this game to be played this coming weekend. That being said, the Seahawks are the night game. Seahawks undefeated. Cardinals at 4-2. And the Cardinals, I've said all along, they're an up-and-coming team. I really like them. I just don't think they're ready to arrive just yet. But they're playing at home. Do they hand the Seahawks their first loss of the season? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to pick the pick, which many seem to think this is an upset, but I'm going to say the Cardinals get to 5-2. The Seahawks go to 5-1. Kevin, back to you.
Passing of the guard time. I like it. I'm not quite as confident. I think Seattle wins this game, but I think you got this thing just right, that Arizona is ready to take their place among the better teams in the league at some point soon.
Christina?
This is hard because I love Russell Wilson, but I think that containing Kyler Murray is going to be a little bit of a problem for Seattle. I don't have the faith in their defense. I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
See, that's just it. I think that Kyler Murray can do so much, and he will against the Seahawks team, and the Seahawks just don't have enough defense to keep up there. Meanwhile, I think the Cardinals do have enough defense. This is the reason I'm making the pick the way I am. Then you've got the Monday night contest, another game I'm salivating for. The Chicago Bears leaving the friendly confines of the Midwest, heading out to the West Coast to take on the Rams, who are at 4-2. I think the Rams are an ascending team, wanting to retake their place atop the NFC from just a couple of years ago. The Bears, I think, are going to look inept. Even though that defense is very, very good, I just don't think they're ready. I think the Bears take the loss. The Rams get the win. And Christina, back to you.
I just think the Bears, I said it before, making a signature out of winning ugly this season. That's what they do. They get the job done behind their defense. We saw them absolutely harass Teddy Bridgewater last Sunday. I'll go Bears.
Kevin?
No, I like the idea of the Rams. They've scored more points than the Bears. They've allowed fewer points than the Bears. I think this thing finally flips back around for a Bears team that's picked up a couple of lucky W's so far.
And then the Packers looking to get back on track. They take on the 1-5 Texans down there, and we're going to be all covering this game, talking about this game. I got the Packers. I'm not going to say it's a runaway, but I think the Packers, I'm going to say, if I had to pick a score, 35-17 in this contest. Kevin?
Yeah, I think this is one of those when Aaron Rodgers is angry on Wednesday, look out on Sunday. 34-10.
Christina?
Yeah, I don't think the Packers want to play into the critics' lap on this one. given the drama that came with their first loss of the season. So I'm going to take the Packers. I also just don't think that the Texans defense can stand up to an Aaron Rodgers offense. I think they're giving up something like 400 something yards a game. So I'll go Packers all day on this.
There you go. An angry Rodgers on Wednesday lookout signs. That's like a red sky and morning sailors take warning type of thing that Kevin shoots off at us. Gang, it's great. Been great. Thanks so much for joining me. Okay.
Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate it. There you go. Kevin Holden, Christina Tousseau, both from CBS 58. I'm Bill Michaels. Great to have you back aboard again this evening, and thanks for taking a listen to us. And for all of you listening on the radio.com app, we were presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. Time for us to go. Have a go. Shoot!
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.